Well, hello, America. This is Eugene B. Colson from the BBS Internet Radio Network, and the show is Mind Controlled America. If you watch TV, if you go to the movies, if you play video games, if you've been educated in the United States, you are under mind control. And I have two special guests with me today. I have Ben Yosef and Jim Tin Rivers. And they're both affiliated with the American Indian Movement. And one thing that Ben Yosef was educating me on when I first contacted him was the fact that the history books are not telling the truth about the American Indians, that the winners were the white man or the white government, and they greatly maligned the Indian nations just so that they could grab more lands. Has that been your experience, Ben Yosef?
Well, Eugene, first of all, I want to thank you again for allowing me to be on your program today, along with Jimmy Tin Rivers. And Jimmy, who is a Native American from the Apache, would be better qualified to answer that question than me. I think what we spoke about last week was primarily the abuses that have gone on, and the best documentation I personally have seen of that has been the narration by Kevin Costner called 500 Nations, in which he explores the fact that every treaty ever signed from between any Native American tribe and this government has always been violated by the government. And Jimmy, you can take it from there.
Go ahead, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is true. Our people have endured and suffered a great deal through the hands of our government. Everything that was talked about in the beginnings of times was supposed to be truth and supposed to be about peace, but in actuality, it was about greed and about taking our land away.
Now, you would know more from the stories handed down through the Apache Nations. Now, are the vast majority of these stories that Geronimo and his bunch were raped, pillaged, and burned? Is that correct or incorrect?
That is very correct.
I mean, from the Indians to everybody else.
Well, there's always two sides of the story.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to get you.
And it's been my learning that the white man has always written their own history. And according to the stories of the elders and some of the people that I have spoke with, this is the truth. There's documentation in a book called In Day by Eve Ball that has the stories of a lot of the old people that traveled to Florida and were put on the trains and ran from the cavalry, and it has a lot of the truth of what happened through their eyes.
So you would agree that most of the stories that the Indians were the bad guys and they were the ones rape, pillage, and burning are false?
No, opposite. You know, the history books want to make us look out like that.
Well, that's my point. That's my point. We're hitting the wrong side of the nail. So you're saying that the Indians weren't out there looking for trouble. It was the white man. They would do this and then claim the Indians did it.
That's right. Well, this land, you got to remember who was on this land when the Europeans and the Spaniards arrived. And because of what was here, they wanted it. And they used any means to get it. You know, they brought diseased blankets to our people. They hung us. They did all kinds of atrocities to us. They would separate the men and the women. Most of the women they would take, they would rape them. You know, there's a lot of stories of that. Just terrible, terrible things that happened to obtain this country.
So the person that I know you want to talk about the most, Geronimo. Now, did he rise up against the government and the so-called perpetrators just to defend his land and his people?
it was in defense of his people and his land. If he had no other home, this was his home. This was all he knew. And when the settlers and the cavalry and all these people came, he had to protect what he knew. He had to protect his family. He had his wife and his children were murdered. You know. And,
do you know who? Do you know which group, in fact, murdered him? Whether it was cavalry or the settlers?
The first ones, his first wife and two little girls were murdered by the Mexicans. And he had two other wives that were murdered by the cavalry.
Now, as Ben Yosef brought out last week, the subject that he told me you'd like to talk about the most. What happened with Geronimo's grave and some of the other Indians that were buried near him?
Well, it's kind of my understanding that the Bush family, along with others, went in and desecrated their graves and obtained Geronimo's skull and also bones from Mangus Coloradas and some of the other warriors. And because of that, this Skull and Bone Society has been created. And this is kind of my understanding of what happened. Now, truth be, I'm not really sure myself.
And the Skull and Bone Society, we're talking about Prescott Bush, the grandfather of the current president. Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, yeah, I know the Prescott Bush is such a fine character that he was partners with Goebbels and people like that. And how dare you say he could do something like that? I mean, if he's with partners with the Nazis, he's got to be a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. You know, because of this, and if this is in fact true, then I kind of believe, along with others, that there's been a terrible curse put upon our country and upon the Bush family themselves.
What are some of the symptoms of this curse?
Well, you can see it right now in our society. Some this trend of war, this feeling of greed that they have. This is a big part of that.
Well, the stock market's falling apart right now, and that's a contrived thing, another contrived disaster, where they make up stories and then they put it out there on the news. I know the Bush family. I have personally talked with Bush Sr. several times on different various forms of communication, and he's not a good guy. Now, what would have to be done for this curse to be lifted from this nation, Jim?
Well, I believe that those bones need to be returned in a sacred way. There has to be ceremony surrounding it. They need to be cleansed with the sacred herbs and the smokes, the sages, and also the White House and the people that have had their hands on these that are doing these rituals with those skulls and bones, whatever they're doing with them. They need to be cleansed from that.
Well, I'm a mind control victim. They did wonderful things to me, and I believe they made me watch some of these ceremonies with the different skulls, and they put in a mixture of blood, wine, and urine, and then they'll do their ceremony and drink of it. And I remember, these are repressed memories, that they had some Indian women there that they were abusing. Does any of the people that are relatives of Geronimo or any of these other guys that had their skulls removed, do these women have missing time?
Do they have missing what, excuse me?
Missing time, where they're gone and they don't know where they were.
You know, I really don't know about that. I haven't talked with any of the women in those positions. Geronimo's great-granddaughter is the only one woman that we've spoken with. I really don't know about that.
Well, if you could, I'd like you to check into that and get back with Ben Yosef.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to this conversation right now, Ben Yosef?
Just one thing. We brought it out a little bit last week, but maybe we could emphasize it a little bit more. The fact that one of the reasons that the Apache Nation under Geronimo was positioned where they were may have related to the fact that they were guarding something sacred. And this may explain, why the Apache at one time were the fierce fighters that they were. But I can tell you today that the warrior community of the Apache Nation, which is being led by Jimmy Ten Rivers and Tomas Eagle Bear, these people are spiritual warriors. And we suffer in the lodges for others. And, we're just very concerned about the state of this nation right now because of this curse. And I personally believe that as Ten Rivers said, that some type of purification is necessary to rid us of the effects of this thing. And already it may be too late to deal with some of the ramifications, and specifically I'm talking about what's going on in Israel with the proposed Palestinian state.
Now, I fought with the mind control state, Delta Force, Force Recon, SEAL, Green Beret, Ranger, and so forth. And probably somewhere around 20 to 25% of the special ops community are American Indians, and they are fierce fighters. And anybody who's been spiritually in tune, being all these guys that run the nation, the finances, the corporations, and everything, are devil worshippers. They're Illuminati or Jesuit. They take people that God has protected or have special spiritual gifts. And quite often they'll try to mind control them, and if they cannot do that, they will monitor them for the rest of their lives. And so for them to go after Geronimo's skull or anyone else's that was gifted in any way is quite normal for them. Do you have any additional comments you'd like to make in regards to this, Jim?
Well, it's just... To our people, that's not a very honorable thing, a lot of the things that have gone on, especially in these past 8 years of this Bush administration, have really turned things around for the worse for us, and we need a lot more people to just start standing up. And standing their ground and saying, hey, we're not going to take this anymore. You know, this is still our land too, and we need to make it a good place, not the place that it's become of war and all the things that are going on in our society today. And that's why we struggle so hard to bring these ceremonies back, because they have a rightful place in our society, and they have truth and they have meaning and they work for people that have problems and struggles. And the government does not want us to have power. They do not want us to have our own power back. That's why they fought so hard to keep these things out of our society. And
now, go ahead.
Go ahead.
2 weeks ago, when I was talking with Ben Yosef, I thought I was seeing some kind of vision, but actually it was just a repressed memory of mine from one time when I was training out of... near the Flat Rock Mountains, those mountains that get the flat rocks stacked real big. And I looked up on top of the peak of this mountain, and there was a female wolf looking at me, and its eyes glowed white. And there was a male right behind me, and below me there was probably 60, 70 wolves just sitting there looking at me. And the same right after I got off the phone with Ben Yosef on that, I turn on CNN, and there I see Sarah Palin, I believe it was Sarah Palin, shooting a wolf. And these were gray wolves with black tipped hair, that's the ones I saw. And that's what she was shooting from that airplane. And then Ben Yosef and I's mutual friend She got up the next morning, she turns it on Discovery Channel, and what she seeing the Discovery Channel thing on the wolves. Does the wolf play any great role in your ceremonies? Maybe you can explain this to me.
In a lot of the ceremonies, that wolf brings mystery and strength, you know, and also a bit of trickery, because they have to have those things in order to survive. This wolf, you know, could be this bush. We don't know. You know, it's hard to speculate on things like that. We all see things and things happen to us because this universe has a special way of unfolding things for us. And I think all of us in some time or another have been shown different things. We just quite don't understand them because we haven't made that connection that's been taken away from our people for so long. And only through ceremony and through physical suffering and things like that can you obtain these spiritual insights.
And what might be some of those insights you and your group have received?
All visions towards the future, things that could possibly happen in your family or happen to someone. We've foreseen children being born. And you know, right now, in a lot of the visions that are happening with the elders and things, they're seeing the spiritual sovereignty of this nation being, the hands being changed to the native people.
Hold on. Now, could you tell me some of those visions of the future?
I really couldn't speak on that too much right now. One thing I could say is that we really have to change. People have to change. They have to start treating each other better. And these wars really should have to come to an end. And people need to understand that there were certain territories bestowed upon others by Creator Himself. And these things need to be honored.
Well, I know that Bush and company, towards the end of June, were trying to hand this nation over to China.
And
not only have the different parties stolen it from the American Native peoples and broken their treaties, he's in violation of his oath of office. He tried to hand this country over lock, stock, and barrel to China. And everything is all towards this end time scenario. That includes the UFO and alien scenario. I know Ben Yosef has told me that some of the native peoples have seen what they call the alien grays. I have spent time at Area 51, and on my first show I explained that. Anybody listening, they want to see what's really going on at Area 51. Can you comment on any of this, Jim?
I'd rather not. I have my own opinions about those things too, but maybe we could talk about that some other time.
Well, just for your information here, you know, in 2003 they took me on a tour of sublevels 1.1 to 21.1, and it was the Gray production facility, and they are made there. They explained to me that they were pre-man on Earth, that they came from Mars and another planet that's missing, and that the pre-flood man started altering themselves genetically and created these things. These are biological robots. And that's what I've seen and talked with others who've seen the same things and confirmed that. Anything you'd like to comment here on what Jim Ten Rivers said, Ben Yosef?
Well, let me just address the alien thing real quick. You know, my personal approach to this is more like an exegetical review of things, going by written records. And the only written record that I've seen that indicates some type of ET influence in the origin of mankind relates to the Sumerian manuscripts, which have been translated by, at this point, only one authority, a man by the name of Zechariah Sitchin. When his work is confirmed, then maybe there will be some kind of exegetical evidence to back up, you know, these claims. But, you know, when people have experiences with UFOs or aliens or whatever, those are extremely personal things, which we're extremely reluctant to talk about because sometimes we're branded as being less than sane.
Oh yeah, I've got that brand on me, paranoid, schizophrenic, and delusional. But anybody who comes out and tells the truth is paranoid, schizophrenic, and delusional.
Well, also, I wanted to add one thing about the wolf, if I could. I don't know if we talked about this on the program last week or not, but on Tisha B'Av, the ninth day of the Hebrew month of Av, which commemorates, really not a celebration, but it commemorates the destruction of the Jerusalem temple, both by Babylon and Rome on the same day, but, you know, centuries apart. But on Tisha B'Av of this year, I was kissed on the mouth by a wolf, and it's quite an interesting story. We don't have time to go into all of it, but the bottom line is that I believe the Creator is showing us that we need to be closer in touch with His creation, and he's, you know, we're being encouraged to plant things, get our hands in the ground, in Mother Earth, and to become more intimate with the four-legged and you know, the winged creatures and all these others, because if the earth is in a stage of about to rebel, it's those who are her friend who she will protect. And the same is true of animal life. People who go around shooting wolves, one day those wolves might wind up attacking them. But if we become friends to the animal life, we stand a better chance of survival in a different world, a world not as we know it now.
Well, I know a mind control victim, they had me train, training as a child, I believe when she was like 9 years old, and I was in my early 20s. This is all at a mind control level. What made her a superstar was over in Asia, she lived in the jungle with a wolf pack for a year, and they took care of her when she was about 7, 8. And that pushed her to superstardom, so they had me train her because I'm the top shadow warrior the government has ever had. I don't know if that brings any significance into it as well, but that's what she told me.
Well, just one more thing I remembered about that experience with the wolf. There were several of us from the community here who decided to go out there and tour this. It's really like a wolf mission. They take care of abandoned and injured full-blooded wolves. They raise them in kind of semi-captivity. So it wasn't actually, you know, a wolf in the wild. But still in all, wolves are animals that cannot be domesticated, and no one should ever attempt to domesticate them. You know, they need to be left in their habitat. But in reflecting on the experience, it hit me that my totem, my animal totem, is that of the wolf. And there's one of the tribes of Israel who have the animal totem of a wolf, and that is from the family referred to as the house of Joseph, known as Benjamin. And, you know, that's the subject of another program later, but in my mind, it also speaks of some type of reunion and reconciliation between the natives and the whites.
The floor is yours, Jim. Say anything you want in regards to the skull or whatever.
Well, I'd just like to comment on what Benny also just said about the reconciliation of the natives and the whites, and, you know, there's a lot of native people out there that have still a lot of animosities towards the white people, and I think this is the time that we really need to put all those things aside and start coming together as one people, and that is a lot of what our community and our ceremonies here in our homeland promote, is we open them up to all nations of people, native or non-native, as long as you come with a good heart and a good spirit like that. And we're willing to open these things up. These are the only things that the white man has really not completely stolen away from us, is our ceremonies and our spirits to keep them going. And now is the time to put those animosities aside and those hatreds or whatever it might be, that we might come together and make this a better place for the future generations of all people. Because you know, you've heard the term that this is a small world, and it really is, and we need to take care of it. And I'm really focusing a lot of my energy and my time on trying to bring those things together.
Now, have you and your group experienced any amount of trouble caused for people trying to negative publicity?
Actually, we haven't. You know, we've been pretty fortunate that most of the people that have come around, I mean, there's been a couple of folks that have tried to disrupt things from time to time, but for the foremost, we've been pretty fortunate to have a lot of good people around to understand what's happening here in this area. And we feel that this would be a good model for other small communities to start building sweat lodges in their communities and getting people over there to teach somebody how to run those ceremonies or to have somebody in their area that can do it and to get this thing spread out where a lot more people are becoming more aware of the connection between the earth and the spiritual things and getting that awakening that we need to make this place a better place.
Now, a lot of people believe we're in the beginning of the tribulation on a 7-year cycle. I believe we are. Do you have any comments on that with you and the guys you do your ceremonies with?
Well, there's a lot of things happening right now. This is 2008, and there's a lot of talk about the Aztec calendar and the 2012 thing, and the planets are going to align, the Earth might shift its axis. You know, there's a lot of speculation going on of what's going to happen at that time. And, you know, it even says in the Bible that people need to start getting spiritually prepared. And
is there any visions or anything like that anybody shared with you that could possibly be towards the tribulation?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things happening right now with the weathers and the hurricanes. A lot of stuff going on with our Earth right now. She's trying to heal herself, I think. And a lot of our people believe that this Earth is a living organism. Like, when your body gets sick, your antibiotics attack whatever that area is and try to heal it. There's a lot of sickness on our Earth right now. And you hear tornadoes happening where they never happened before, and just a lot of things like that. The Earth is really trying to heal herself, and we need to help her with that.
Well, I know that the vast majority of these tornadoes and hurricanes are caused by Russia, China's, and the United States HEART Project. And they are still in charge of all 9 of those locations, and that's what they're using to create all these disasters so that they can benefit from it.
If I could add something to what Jim was saying, Eugene, there is a vision that I'm aware of that was shared with me by the chief of the Crow Nation. You have to understand that the Crow Nation was originally called the Eagle Nation, but because the federal government did not think that a Native American tribe should be called by the name of the Eagle, their name was changed to Crow. But Gary Prettypaint, who's the chief of the Crow Nation, is someone I met with about a year and a half ago, and he confided a vision of a humongous tsunami off of the eastern coast of the United States, which was going to permanently change the terrain of the eastern seaboard, and he held up 4 fingers and he said, we have 4 years. And this was about a year and a half ago.
Well, when the programming was breaking down and I realized that my wife and kids were victims of the CIA mind control, I had this poltergeist activity, and I heard this noise on the roof one day, and I went out there. This was in 2000. This was in late August or September of 2000. There were about 1,000 to 2,000 crows on top of my house. Interestingly enough, when I moved into the house, the address number was 666, which we later changed to 668.
Okay.
What significance does the crow have with the Indian spiritualism? Is that a good thing, a bad thing, or what?
All the animal nations are good things. They carry certain gifts and special insights on different things. We had no negative feelings about things like that. You know, there was some signs during, you know, you hear certain things about maybe owls, that some natives are skeptical about owls and things like that. And there are certain signs, but the crow, I don't believe anything associated with that is negative.
Well, it's
in my experience, the crow has always been a messenger of some type, or like, you know, validating a certain path or something of that nature. You know, as we look for signs from nature constantly. You know, it's interesting, when Jim and I left to go out to Utah to meet with some Mormons out there, just as we were leaving the town of Walsenburg, there was seven does, weren't they, Jim?
Yeah.
Crossed in front of our path. Yeah, and it was a sign, you know, for the journey.
Well, I know I was raised in a ritual abuse background, and they use the crow quite often in a negative context in their satanic rituals. So, you know, to say that I know what's going on or not, I don't. I just know what I saw.
Well, I'm a little leery of owls myself. But
well, every time I drop a rock on my toe, I say owl.
Yeah, we have a lot to learn from the animals, though. If people really think about it, that's how people learn to build their houses. That's how people learn to live. The only thing that ever distinguished us from them was the ability to use fire. Anything other than that, we're basically the same in our teachings. And people have gotten away from that. You know, they've lost respect for the animal life, for the tree life, for all life. Even one another, you hear of children killing their parents or parents killing their children and things like that. You know, these are things that are unnatural to the native people that I simply can't grasp or understand. And these are things that are being taught in our society. On TV every day, you see messages sent like that to our young people. And it's about violence and greed and anger. And they're pushing all these negative things on our societies. War, when we need to be focusing on a lot of the ceremonial stuff. Getting our physical and our mind and our spirits all in sync with things, so that way we can walk in balance and we can have good lives and we could be safe. But there's so much other things being taught in our societies today that people are struggling between the two worlds. They say that in the native ways, the ceremonies were given to us in the absolutes, which is in the perfect ways they were given to us. That's why we keep them the same way. We do not add anything. We do not take anything away. It's just people are not being taught these things. You know, they're not being taught spiritual things. Even the churches today can't. People are confused about that. They don't know whether they could really believe or confide in the churches anymore.
Well, most of the churches are run by the government. There are quite a few satanic priests, they're Jesuit, they're Illuminati, they're, you know, various intelligence agencies. They run most of the churches, and all the big guys on television are operatives. And they're trying to take the religion as it was stated in the Bible. Really, I don't even like the word religion, the truth as it was stated in the Bible, and they're perverting it. And they don't want us to know the truth. If we're going to go one way or another, they want to control how we think about it so that we miss the mark. Let's talk about Indian burial grounds a little bit. I've noticed different buildings that were built, and they found they were built over Indian burial grounds, that there's all this negative energy around them. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, I think when you disturb the resting places of any spirit beings like that, you know, there's bound to be some kind of repercussions, negative energies like that, because
that's the skull of Geronimo.
Yeah, because they are disturbed. You know, this government would, and our society would really just freak out if the native people say they marched to Abraham Lincoln's resting place and desecrated his grounds. You know, that would not be okay, but it would be okay to constantly be digging up native bones and they're building these Walmarts all over and these malls, and they're digging up our people all over. They put them in museums on display. I've been to museums and I've seen clothing that was taken hundreds of years ago from our people. They have them on display, little baby carriages, and it was okay to do those kind of things. But in our society, for the native people, if we were to do something like that, we would be persecuted. And it's just, I just don't understand these things, and the spirits don't understand them either. And I think that's where a lot of that negative energy comes from.
Well, let's tie this in with Israel. Ben Yosef, you and I spoke at length last week about the Native American connection with Israel and giving Palestine to the Palestinians as opposed to being Joseph's birthright.
Yes. There has been one very recent development which might can be a news peg to tie this in into, Eugene, but this week the Prime Minister of Israel, Ehud Olmert, who has been indicted for several crimes and has got about 2 weeks left in office. Anyway, he met with the head of the Palestinian Authority, Mr. Abbas, and apparently made an offer to Mr. Abbas to give up 98.1% of the region known as Judea Samaria, which we discussed last week, that formed that outline of the man's head wearing a with a crown.
Why don't you go ahead and give your website address so people can go look that up and see that for themselves?
Okay, it's www.torah-voice.org. And also on the website, if you'll notice in the right-hand column, we mentioned the needs of the Aslan community here. There's a telephone number where people can call Jimmy Ten Rivers directly and discuss with him the major needs of the community. And if we have recently purchased an old house, which we're remodeling and making into a place where Native American elders can come and stay for visits of up to 20 days and attend our purification lodges, visit with the community, get to know us, and get to know our vision, which relates to preparing a place for these elders to come from which they can steward this land after the Hopi purification when this government no longer exists.
And now, is there some kind of time when the elders are supposed to get together for a specific thing?
Well, we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants right now, Eugene. We're just being directed by the Spirit to get a place ready for them to come and stay. And then when they come, they'll tell us what to do. We have been in contact with several already. As a matter of fact, one elder from Alaska contacted us recently. And just to recognize the work that we're doing, kind of like what they call a protocol gift, is sending us some homegrown Mohawk tobacco. And as you know, the Mohawks were the ones who brought tobacco to this land. And this is a very, very special gift and honor to Ten Rivers and his vision here. But to get back to your question about...
well, wait a minute. In honor of the tobacco, let me take a quick drag off the cigarette here. I don't know if it's Mohawk, but it's American.
But to address what's going on in Israel very briefly, Omer is ready to hand over these territories for the declaration of a Palestinian state before he leaves office in 2 weeks. I personally believe this is also tied to the legacy of the Bush presidency, because Bush wants some kind of record before he goes out of office. And
he's got a record, all right. It's called criminal.
I don't think anyone in the Native community would dispute with you about that. But at the same time, we realize that there are spiritual things that are influencing some of his actions, and some of them he may not even be aware of what's going on. But
well, Go ahead. Let me say this one thing and see if you can add to this. Roz sent me these. She can't email me anymore for some strange reason. None of the emails come through, or they're blank, which happens on a regular basis to me. This Karen Bishop, who puts out, I believe she's in New Mexico, Arizona, New Mexico, so she puts out this spiritual letter when she gets the inspiration. And she says there's going to start to be a change for the better on the equinox of 922, which would be, I believe, evening of 923, according to the Hebrew calendar. And if you Google the anniversary of 9/11 pursuant to the Hebrew calendar, which is the real calendar the world operates on, it's 923. Anything special in the American Indian neighborhood pursuant to that date?
Not that I'm aware of.
You're talking about September 23rd of this?
Yeah, next week.
Next week. I personally do not follow the astrological calendar. I do look very closely at Hebrew dates.
And that's the Hebrew that's the Hebrew anniversary of 9/11 2001.
That's what I was going to say. That is the Hebrew anniversary of 9/11 2001. But that's the only thing I see. Let's see, if I can address your earlier question very quickly about what's going on in Israel. If this Palestinian state is declared on the territories of Joseph, which comprise that head region in the outline, then George W. Bush will have done the same thing that his grandfather did, Prescott Bush, beheading Geronimo, only he has done it to the territories of Joseph, which comprise the birthright of Jacob, and handing that birthright, like on a platter, like a head on a platter, to the Palestinian people, who the prophet Obadiah described as the house of Esau that will be dwelling in the possessions of Jacob whenever he would return to them. And as we know, that return began around 1917, and when the Jews began returning there, they found Palestinians living in the territories of Joseph. So there's no question that from a prophetic perspective, the prophet Obadiah was talking about the Palestinian people. And this is a very, very big problem for us, for the United States, because we have promoted this Palestinian state all along, and I believe that even our involvement in Iraq relates to this, because when George H.W. Bush was president, he sent his Secretary of State, James Baker, to Israel the day after the ceasefire was declared between the United States, the Allies, and Iraq, the day after. And a deal was made before the war to keep the Arab nations out of this war and allying with Saddam to guarantee a Palestinian state in the 1967 borders, the pre-1967 borders, which would include the territories of Joseph. This promise was apparently made without any cognizant recognition of the spiritual ramifications, but the spiritual ramifications are such that we, the United States of America, our State Department, has stolen the birthright of Jacob and handed it on a platter to Esau. That's what will happen if this Palestinian state is declared in the territories of Joseph. And the ramifications, I don't want to think about them.
Well, the Israeli government is basically, the ones running the show are entirely Illuminati. And they're, you know, I have no problem with the Israeli people as a whole. It's the leadership. And they were also involved on trying to hand this nation over in a very big way to China back at the end of June. So these men, you know, they may claim to be Jews. Like it says in Revelation, they say they are Jews, but they are not. They are the synagogue of Satan. These men are devil worshippers. And for anyone to think, oh, well, if they're Jewish, they would never do that. Well, it was the Jewish bankers who primarily put Hitler in power and the Bush family in power.
Well, let me bring this back around to the Skull of Geronimo and Native American insights into it. If a Palestinian state is declared on the territories of Joseph, then I believe America is cursed with perhaps no way out but one. This problem has got to be attacked at its spiritual root. Like Jimmy Ten River said, return the skull of Geronimo in a sacred manner to the Apache Nation so that our revered leader can complete his journey and fumigate the White House with sage, cedar, and sweetgrass. And maybe some Apache there singing and drumming the permutations of the name of God. Then maybe Hashem will lift the curse, but the damage already is done to the birthright, and because of that, there may be hell to pay.
Anything you'd like to add to that, Jim?
I would just like to urge the people and the native people especially to get back to the ceremonial ways. Come back to the old ways, to the old teachings, leave that alcohol alone, leave those drugs alone, and listen to the ancestors. And this is how we will survive, and we will get through these purifications in a good way.
Now, other than your trip to Washington, Ben Yosef, in regards to Geronimo's skull and the other skulls, have you gotten any other government contact?
Not that I can talk about.
Okay, but you have gotten some. Has any of it been recent?
There's some things I just am not able to talk about right now. Maybe at a later time.
I'm just curious, since you and I have started talking on the telephone, have you had any contact from any government officials? You don't have to say what it is.
You and I have been talking on the phone, no.
Okay. Has anybody said anything positive towards returning those artifacts?
There may be something going on by other channels from family members of Geronimo, okay, through some official channels. And I don't want to in any way jeopardize what they would be attempting to do by commenting on anything.
All right, no, we don't want to jeopardize anything. We're just trying to make efforts to hopefully push things forward.
Right. And I think that, you know, if it could be done through the family members, that would be the best way. But I just don't see that it's making much progress. And I believe it's time for, there to be more pressure applied. And that's why I just yesterday sent out a news release or an email to for the widest possible distribution to these House of Joseph lists. You know, that it's time now for them to contact their senators and congressmen. Because when I went to Washington in last July, July 07, I personally hand-delivered a letter spelling all this out to all 100 U.S. senators delivered to the Senate Receiving Office. And so I know they were received. I did receive a few answers from some of the senators, but there needs to be pressure applied. This nation needs to understand if this Palestinian state takes place, this curse descends on this nation and intensifies, and I don't think there's any way out of it, except perhaps the return of the Skull of Geronimo, because there you're attacking it at its spiritual root. But no, there's been no contact from anyone from the government since we have been in touch with one another, Eugene.
Well, they're terrified of me. I mean, they run, when I show up, they used to have operatives around me all the time, but now they're running for the hills. And I'll do whatever I can, through whatever channels I can, to help you guys get that skull returned, but ultimately it's up to God.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
When he decides to put enough pressure on these people, and just for your knowledge, Jim, I've told Ben Yosef there are thousands of these people that are the top devil worshippers in the world are dying of pancreatic cancer.
Oh.
Yeah, God is out of his box, and pancreatic cancer is the most painful cancer that a man can die of, and they've done a lot of horrible things to myself and my family all our lives because we're all mind control victims from birth. And you see a lot of these people, famous people, heads of industry, heads of this and heads of that, dying of pancreatic cancer. I've even been told that Bush Sr. has pancreatic cancer and Jr. has prostate cancer. So he's not happy with what they're doing. And in a big way, these people are getting ill, but they're still not repenting.
Well, there's a lot I don't know if I want to say curses or things like that. But there's been a lot of other, that's not the only atrocity that has happened. Like I mentioned earlier, the museums are full of Native American clothing and artifacts and sacred pipes, sacred articles. I'm sure people have them in their homes. You know, things like this, all these things need to be returned.
Well, what about if you find an Indian an arrowhead by a creek or something like that? Should you just leave that where it is, or is it okay to collect things like that?
Well, on some of those things, there still is the old medicines are still on those things. And some of them might be well just left alone. I know a lot of people that pick them as hobbies and things like that. There's collectors. And I really don't see too much harm in maybe the arrowheads, but a lot of the sacred items, like the sacred pipes, the old pouches that were used, there's even some really old drums that are in these museums, all these things that were sacred and used in ceremony, they have spiritual power and being, you know, and they could cause harm to people that use them in the wrong ways.
Exactly. If I could add something, Eugene, even Moses in the Torah, you know, said to distinguish between the things that are holy and the things that are common. You know, and one way we get in serious spiritual trouble is whenever we use something holy in an unholy or common way. And, you know, people having these things in their houses and not knowing what that medicine is about is a real problem.
Now, didn't you go down recently and do a drum ceremony somewhere?
Where's that?
Oh, yeah. We did a little drumming ceremony at the Obama rally in Pueblo.
Why don't you explain what happened there?
Well, we just gathered a crowd. You know, it was after Obama had spoken, and people were filing out. The security was a lot more lax, so they allowed us to do whatever we wanted to do, really. And so we just got around the father drum and started banging it, and Tomas Eagle Bear led us, and he's quite a singer. And we probably had 1,000 people gathered around us, listening to us sing as we were I was walking backwards, and the rest of them were walking forwards as we were banging on the drum, you know, headed, singing the song. I think we're singing some type of victory song.
Did they keep you out of where Mr. Obama was speaking?
Yes, they had very, very tight security. They wouldn't even let you bring signs in.
Did any of his people contact you or say anything to you after he spoke in any way?
Well, we were able to pass along a letter with some of our Native American grievances to the Obama campaign. And you have to understand, at this point, I don't think anyone is really ready to commit to a candidate until we know more about where they stand on certain issues. At least this, I'm speaking for myself here and some of the people who I know personally. But we did feel like we needed to go and listen to what he had to say. He did mention Native Americans one time in his speech, and I think we all raised our fists and said, "Aho," when he mentioned Native Americans, because we don't get mentioned very often.
Well, there's plenty of cowboy and Indian movies that you get mentioned quite often.
Yeah, we're trying to forget those.
Well, you've got about 2.5 minutes left. So go ahead and say whatever you got to say before we have to end the show.
Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I just want to thank you for putting us on and letting us speak a little bit on these subjects. There's still a lot of things that need to be done in our area and around the whole country, around the whole world, concerning spiritual issues. And we're really working hard down here to try to bring some kind of balance back to our community and to our people, and hopefully bring some strength back to them and some honor back into our lives, too. I hope the whole world or the people that listen to this, you know, don't look at America in a bad way because of just of what our government has done. You know, there's a lot of good people in our societies, and there's a lot of good going on too, besides the bad things. And we like to recognize that too. You know, the people that are working real hard, the caregivers and the emergency people and you know, the people that are really trying to live a good life. You know, there's a lot of folks out there that are sick and tired of what's happening in our society, especially with our government and what's gone on in the past 8 years. And you know, it's put us in a real economic pinch, but also it's put people in a real spiritual hurt too. And people need to realize, you know, that you know, you see these signs that we need to change, and sometimes it starts within our own homes. And there's so much bad influences out there with the alcohol and all the drugs and things that are just waiting out there to grab everyone. And these things are there for reasons. You know, they have liquor stores on every corner and things like that because they want to keep the people in fear. They want to keep people hopeless. They want to keep people down like that, you know, and people got to realize that we're spiritually a strong people, and we need to stand up for ourselves, and now's the time to bring these things out and start helping one another instead of hurting each other. And we just would like to invite anyone that would like to attend a purification ceremony here to Aslan and invite people to our Sundance. We've struggled a lot to reintroduce these ceremonies back into communities where they've been taken away for over 100 years.
Well, I hate to cut you off here, Jim, but we're out of time, and I want to thank you, Jim Ten Rivers, and Ben Yosef. I'll give you a call right after the show, Ben Yosef. This is Eugene B. Colson at Mind Controlled America, signing off.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, Jim.
Hey.
I guess they'll cut us off in a minute. I'll give you a call in a little bit, okay?
Eugene. Okay.
I think he's already cut off.
All right, he's off then.
Yeah.
How do you think that went, man?
I think it went pretty good. You know, anything you want me to tell him?
Yeah, tell him the FBI better not come knocking on my door or I'm going to go kick his ass.
All right, I'll tell him that. It's over.
Tell him I'll put Apache voodoo on him, bud.
Jim, you sounded wonderful, guy. You got some really great stuff across. And I don't know exactly how many people listen to this program, but I was pleased. Very pleased. I'll give you a call in a little bit.
All right, man. See you later.
All right. Take care. Bye.